Well, you were saying about the levels of our power structures who know this is coming. I actually have in my hand the Strategic Energy Policy Challenges for the 21st Century from the James Baker Institute for Public Policy at Rice and the Council on Foreign Relations.
What an extraordinary document.
Yes, and I brought this up at a little talk I gave at a teach-in a few weeks ago, and the part of the document, I have not gotten through all 62 pages yet, but I will, that strikes me the most is this one sentence on page three, that Americans face long-term situations such as frequent sporadic shortages of energy, energy price volatility, and higher energy prices is not the fault of President Bush. Now, I presented that sentence because it sounded to me like a campaign statement, and it sounded to me like those things they're describing are not so long term. What do you think?
Right. Well, in fact, there's considerable accumulating evidence that we'll be seeing a natural gas shortfall here in North America beginning this winter. The evidence from well, I have here in front of me something from Oil and Gas Journal that let's see, what's the date here? October 14th, 2002. It says a survey of 30 of the largest U.S. gas producers indicates that U.S. gas production, natural gas production, declined by 1% sequentially in the third quarter and likely will be down 6% for the year as a whole. Well, currently we're importing about 16% of our natural gas from Canada, and unfortunately, Canada is in pretty much the same situation. Its natural gas production is just peaking now. Now, even though there's a great deal of natural gas overseas, Russia has huge amounts that it hasn't tapped yet, and there's a great deal in the Middle East. It's very difficult to transport natural gas. It has to be transported in a liquid form, which means it has to be cooled to, oh, I don't know, something like 200, minus 250 degrees. And it has to be carried in special liquid natural gas tankers, and it has to be unloaded at special liquid natural gas terminals, of which there are only three in the U.S. So that means that over the short term, the next few years, it's going to be very difficult to increase the importing of liquid natural gas from overseas to any appreciable degree. And so we're left with the North American supply, which is set to begin decreasing probably this winter. I think that's going to be a rude shock for the American public, particularly during the wintertime when they want to stay warm, and it's inevitably going to have profound political repercussions as well. And I'm sure the Bush administration is even now looking for good excuses and for ways to distract the attention of the public so that people are paying more attention, say, to wars overseas or something like that, than to the thermostat in their living room.
Yes, I find it even shocking that they are talking about, in commercials, setting your thermostat to 78 at home. I remember when it used to be 72. It was because normally I grew up, everybody expected to send it at six, to set it at 68. And then the first energy crisis hit in the 70s, and they said, oh, bump it up to 72.
During the summertime, right.
And now they're talking about 78 and 85 when you leave home. So that may be a hint there through the corporate structure. But yeah, let's talk about heating and cooling as one of the ways of getting into how the energy shortages will affect our lifestyles. You made a very good point in your book about how we take heating and cooling for granted and that it could actually be dangerous for people if we run out of the wrong kinds of fuel.
Right. Well, currently, about, oh, 750 or so people die every year from extreme cold, and somewhat fewer than 400 die in a typical year from extreme heat. Together, these figures are a little over 1,000, maybe 1,100 people dying from exposure to extreme cold or heat. This is This is more than the combined death tolls from hurricanes, floods, tornadoes, and lightning. But it's still a relatively small figure, given the fact that most people have central heating, and most people who live in very hot places, Phoenix, Arizona, or Los Angeles, or someplace, have access to air conditioning. When that ceases to be the case, then I think we're going to begin to see likelihood of much higher casualties from extreme cold and heat. And, of course, refrigeration also figures into this picture. Refrigeration mostly is from electricity, but then our electrical generating plants mostly run on fossil fuels, mostly coal, of which there's a great deal. And at the same time, however, the net energy from coal is decreasing.
Explain that.
Well, it's taking more energy to produce a ton of coal every year. The most easily accessed coal is being used up. And before the giant earth-moving machines that are used now to mine coal became common, most coal was mined from deeper underground. And those underground coal mines were mostly shut when the surface mining began. Now, a lot of the surface mineable coal is gone, and those giant machines that move earth to mine coal from the surface use, of course, run on petroleum. Most of them use up to 100 gallons of diesel fuel per hour per machine. So we're looking at the revival of the underground coal mines, and it takes a great deal of skill to work in underground coal mines, and not many people are interested in doing that as a line of work or having their children go into that profession. So there really aren't that many experienced coal miners around who are left over from the old days to take up that coal mining. So to assume that we're going to continue to have an abundant amount of available coal and available net energy from coal in coming decades may be unrealistic, even though theoretically there's enough coal in the ground to last us, by the Department of Energy's estimates, 250 years. What's actually realistically obtainable may be on a yearly basis, only as much as we're using now, or perhaps less, and certainly not enough to make up for the shortfall from petroleum when that becomes less available. So we were talking about refrigeration. Refrigeration is just one of those things that we depend on electricity for that may become more expensive as time goes on.